And thanks to Kathleen McQuillan for joining me in the studio today. Kathleen is the director of the Catholic Peace Ministry and has been a lifelong advocate for peace and justice. Used to work with the American Friends Service Committee.
That's correct.
And now you're there's an upcoming event, and I have a feeling these are happening around the country too, an observance of a key event in the life and history of the Palestinian people called Nakba.
Right.
So tell us what that means and why it's important.
Well, El Nakba means the catastrophe. And that became the way Palestinians referred to the 1948 onslaught in which much of the population, about 80% of the population, was driven from their homes in Palestine. On May 15th, 1948, Israel declared its independence. And so that's their Independence Day. It's Palestinians' Nakba Day. And it's an important date, which so few people know, and that's why we chose to do it. What's happening right now in Palestine, in Gaza, and West Bank is just an add-on to what started in 1948 with the ethnic cleansing, genocidal behavior. And people don't know that term, and we feel strongly people need to understand it. There's so much support for Palestine, but the story isn't told, the history is not known. The media does a terrible job. Once in a while, they acknowledge that, Palestinians are sometimes victims, but they don't tell the history.
Well, and one other piece of the history that's left out is the role that Great, and I always put great in quotes. Yeah. Great Britain played in helping to cause this displacement of one people for another. And again, I mean, it's hard not to have. I mean, you got to have great sympathy for the Jewish people after what happened in World War II, and something needed to happen to provide some sense of security and stability going forward. But displacing another people.
Truly.
Wasn't the answer. And that happened. I mean, Britain controlled that area at the time.
Right.
Britain controlled. And the lines between Syria and Lebanon and Iraq and other countries were just kind of random lines drawn in the sand by Britain.
Right. And I think it's really important to understand that the movement really started before the Second World War.
That's true.
I mean, in 1890s, there was the first Zionist Congress, and it was held outside Palestine, outside Israel, outside England, Great Britain. And they were exploring where to go, and it didn't have to be Palestine. At the same time, Jewish people who were feeling threatened wanted their own land. Great Britain was looking at what do we gain by creating another state over there and put our white Jewish people in that land and have another colony. That was part of the exploration. And then, of course, the horror of World War II, and that can't be overstated how horrible it was.
Yeah.
But as you said, the idea to just, well, now we're going to go replace another people.
Yeah. And I certainly understand. I mean, that was my major in college, was Hebrew. I have great empathy for the Jewish people. I have great respect and love for the culture, the religion, the history, the music. But and I also understand the connection that Jews feel to that area of the world. I mean, that was their ancestral homeland. It's also the ancestral homeland for the Palestinian people.
Right.
And I've always wondered, why can't they all just learn to get along? that's the naive political dreamer in me, is why can't they all just learn to get along?
Well, and they did for a very long time when
true.
They were coming over, and when the Jewish people from Europe were coming over in smaller lots or groups, and they were able to get along. But it was when it became the massive influx and the taking of other land. And it wasn't about, we're coming over to live with you, but it was, we're coming over to take this land. I mean, like in 1914, there was like 6% of the population was Jewish. So, yeah, there's an ancestral history, but it wasn't, it was very old.
Yeah.
And
thousands of years ago, the population the percentage of the population there that was Jewish was about 100, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 100%, you know? But there were also Palestinians, Philistines, I mean, other Assyrians, Babylonians, some people that don't even exist anymore.
True.
Who live nearby. Or even with the Jewish population.
Well, I think one of the reasons the number has some, and the percentage has some relevance, is because when the partition plan pushed by Great Britain and early Zionists, when the partition plan came about, this group of people that were now maybe, because of the drive to get Jewish people into the land, both by Jewish people and by Great Britain, then the UN partition plan gave the people who represented 30% of the population 55% of the land.
Mm.
And the rest, Palestinians, who would have been about 70%, you know, they got the 45%.
Right. And that was the catastrophe, the Nakba, the moment that Palestinians really felt that they were being disenfranchised of their homeland.
Well, and, you know, I think it's really important. There's a couple Israeli historians, Benny Morris and Ian Pape. Ian Pape wrote a book called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, in which they really document the intent to drive Palestinians out. I mean, one of the orders was take as much land with as little people. There's a plan called Delay, I think it's D or something, which lays all this out, that the intent was always, and so that's what the Nakba was. It wasn't just that the land was divided. It was that 80% of the people were pushed out. 750,000 people were pushed out.
Well, and am I right to suggest that that Nakba refers not just to the occurrence in 1948, but to the bigger plan that you just outlined for this eventual complete displacement of Palestinian people to occur?
Well, I think it's become...
So
I think
Nakba is ongoing, in other words.
Yes, yes. But I don't think it was always understood that way. At least... I mean, clearly that's the case now, and people are using it now, the ongoing Nakba. I think at one time, you know, maybe they were hoping that the Nakba was a time, a place in time.
Mm.
But there was the 1967 war in which thousands of Palestinians were killed and more driven out. But well, now I think it's real clear. Plus, Netanyahu has stated to drive the Palestinians.
And you see, between what's happening in Gaza... I mean, and now talk about the complete depopulation of Gaza. And here you got, you know, Mr. President talking about turning it into a resort. And meanwhile, you've got the raising of villages in the West Bank, Palestinian villages being destroyed and being replaced by Israeli settlers.
Yep.
And you've got what's going on in the Golan Heights as well. It seems like the whole movement toward complete annihilation of the Palestinian people has picked up steam.
It certainly looks that way. And it's a wonder to me. So many people around the world understand what's happening, and yet the United States, I can't say they turn a blind eye. They're supportive of Israel. I mean, it's really important to know that I think since 2023, since October, the United States has given like $18 billion to Israel. Now, every year they give $3.8 billion.
So why, now, why couldn't the... If I was president, I absolutely recognize that Israel has a right to exist, but also that it does not have a right to be a theocracy to the extent that it maligns and disenfranchises minority populations, whether they be ethnic or religious. And, you know, I mean, I know there's still talk about a two-state solution, but why not a one-state solution that is secular? And yet, even within that secular society, Judaism might be the dominant religion, you know, and there may be plenty of Jews, like most of the Jews I know in this country, who are cultural Jews. They love their culture, they love their traditions. They don't actively consider themselves, you know, deeply involved in the dogma of their faith.
Yeah.
But you know, why can't the U.S. I mean, we're in the catbird seat. We're pushing policy forward in Israel through the incredible amounts of money, the billions and billions of dollars that we keep supplying in weapons. Why couldn't that be accompanied by an insistence that we come to a resolution to this conflict?
You would think. I mean, that's such a good question. But so obviously we have to look at what are the political ramifications. I mean, there's certain degree of racism involved. We would rather be dealing with a white Jewish population than a brown Arab population.
And how did the Jewish population become white?
Because they went to Europe. I mean, most of them are that came back are from...
Well, I mean, really, we talk about anti-Semitism, but both Jews and Arabs are Semites.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, they are.
They're very much related historically.
Right, but anyway. I mean, I think it's significant the population that came back from Europe after generations having been in Europe and out of that land. I want to raise one thing because we hear this all the time from politicians. Israel has a right to defend itself. Now, the question is, what does that mean for Palestinians? Yeah. One, do they have a right to defend themselves?
Yeah, who doesn't have a right to defend themselves?
And what does it mean for the people who are there? Mm-hmm. For the people who are also pushed aside and struggling to make it in that land. Mm-hmm. So I just always challenge politicians when they throw that out.
And now, again, part of the challenge that you face right now is to get more people to be aware of Nakba, aware of this historical and prominent moment in the consciousness of the Palestinian people. And you've got something coming up here in Des Moines. And I think that similar events are happening around the country.
Yes, I don't know how they're... We're seeing lots of activity going on around the country related to Nakba. I don't know that they're doing similar to this. We have actually done this 10 years ago in 2015. We also had an event. But what we're doing... You know, the number of children killed is like 30% of the deaths. And the deaths are really hard to tell. We get numbers from...
60,000 people so far just in the Gaza?
Well, that's one of the figures. We've seen as high as 80,000. What we have to know is the infrastructure in Gaza is destroyed. So those who would have these records, you know, are not available to tell us.
Does it include
a bunch are still under the rubble.
Right, and does it include the people who are dying of starvation?
Right. Yeah. So, but say 50 to 60,000... And eventually it'll probably be much higher. And children is 18,000.
Yeah.
Women is 12,000. These are not combatants. So to say, I think this is one of the proofs of genocide. Mm-hmm. When you're intentionally starving the people and when you're killing so many.
Women and children.
Yeah.
Non-combatants.
So what we're doing, we're having pinwheels to remind people that these were children. They should be up here playing with these things. They shouldn't be under the ground. And these as memorials to them. So we're putting pinwheels up with the names and ages of children. And it's wrenching and heartbreaking to put to write the names on and then to put them there. So we're putting them along. Once at Gray's Lake, you come across the bridge, and then in that area, we're displaying these pinwheels. Again, remember, these are children that they're representing. And we'll have some signage to talk about Nakba, to talk about genocide, to talk about international law, to talk about the right of return. I mean, that's one of the amazing things, that Palestinians have had the right of return ever since 1948.
And explain that. Explain the right of return.
The United Nations General Assembly, at the end of the war, wrote up Resolution 194, which says the Palestinian people who have been driven from their homes have the right to return to their homes, and if they choose not to get compensation for what was ruined or what they left behind.
And that was after World War II?
No, that was after the 47-48 War of Independence. War of Independence for Israel.
Oh, okay.
Or the Nakba.
Right.
And every year since then, the UN General Assembly has reaffirmed that commitment that Palestinians have a right to return.
And Israel, along with the U.S., and in some cases China and the USSR, the other, you know, key members of the Security Council, choose to ignore any U.N. resolution that doesn't suit their policy preferences.
Yeah, and I think especially the United States, because there have been several Security Council resolutions that have been approved by everybody except the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our hands are very dirty in this.
So,
which is why we have to care. That's what's... I mean, there's so much horror in the world. But why this one? Because we're paying for it.
We're paying for it. Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, and again, I'm encouraged to see so many Jewish people speaking out against what's going... Speaking out against the policy of Netanyahu. And again, I support Israel. Mm-hmm. I support America. I don't like our president. I don't like Israel's president. I think both are doing really, you know, horrible things in the world.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, every once in a while Trump does something, I think, okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
We'll see.
I can't think of anything Netanyahu's done that I'm okay with. I mean, it's just, it's horrible what's been happening under his leadership. You know, and I do get emails once in a while, or, you know, feedback sometimes on this program from people who have a different opinion. I'll share one with you. This is from a guy named Mike. I'm not even sure what program he was referring to, because we talk about this off, you know, often enough on the forum.
Mm.
You mean Hamas's, quote, terrorism. He says, so David Duke and you are aligned? David Duke, that's the Ku Klux Klan right. Grand Wizard. I assume he's referring to Duke's anti-Semitism?
Probably. I mean,
so
I
that makes me an anti-Semite, I guess. He says, is this get-together of yours the celebration of the October 7, 2023 massacre in Israel?
Oh,
I think he's
gosh.
Talking about the musical gathering that we have planned. the terrorists that you support, are you going to raise the Hamas flag? I mean, that's just kind of idiotic, but that kind of idiocy is out there.
Oh, there's a lot of it,
and
yes.
It's even hard to argue or discuss with that. You haven't had any kind of intelligent discussion with that. But
I think you're right about that. It's not a good use of your time.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I have wasted your time reading it. But
well,
I think it's just,
that's not the only one out there. You're
no,
right.
I get this stuff. I mean, one guy writes to me every week, and it's always, Ed, you're so stupid, and here's why.
No.
But, you know, I think we have to just, at what point will the vast majority, I mean, maybe we're already beyond half of the country, mm-hmm. half of the U.S. population agrees that what's happening in Palestine is wrong.
Well, I think we're there. I agree with you. We're there. And the question is, if we're a democracy, why are we not having any impact? I'll tell you, when we go to our congressional offices, we get no bending, no interest. It's Israel has a right to defend itself, and we'll always say the Palestinians have a right to defend themselves, and they don't want to talk about
that. But you say that, but that's not an endorsement of Hamas.
No.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But that there are the people like this Mike guy who will interpret it that way. And
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But were you saying? I mean, I'm saying 50% of the population I think is on our side on this.
Yeah, I think more than that.
Yeah.
The latest poll suggests that most Americans
right.
are very offended by the policy that's.
And why can't we make a change?
Yeah.
I mean, much of the world. Yeah. I love seeing the Pope talk about it right off.
Yes.
The new Pope.
Yes. Very encouraged.
And you
being with the Catholic Peace Ministry, we've got to be particularly happy with the new Pope.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. You're still reserving judgment?
Well, yeah, I mean.
He's from Chicago. That's where you're from.
No, I'm from Buffalo.
Buffalo, oh, okay. The other end of the lake.
Yeah, there we go.
lakes, plural, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you had a Chicago connection. No, okay.
Not specifically?
Not my bit. Okay, well, anyway, he's a White Sox fan, but I feel sorry for him in that case. Anyway,
well, I thought it was cool because it means he's a Southsider, and isn't that like the Southside always supports the White Sox?
All right. So again, the event that you're
it's May 17th, Saturday. It'll be open for people to walk through, stop, read the names, read some of the material we'll have. It's 1 to 5, and there'll be people around to visit with, and we hope. We'll have a lot of people come out and learn a little more about it. Sign up to be a part of the campaign.
Kathleen McQuillan, folks, thanks so much for joining us, Kathleen.
Thank you, Ed.